Whoa, one at a time. We had six hands raised at the same time. Let's start here.
By their actions.
By their action. That shows that you're loved. All right.
Communication.
Communication. Wow, that's a good one. All right. Actions.
By the actions and the things that they do for you.
By the actions or the things they do for you. Okay.
Giving without expecting something in return.
Giving without expecting something in return. That's good. Anybody else want to take a shot? Yeah, brother.
Respect.
Who?
Respect.
Respect. Okay, yes.
By the way they care for you.
By the way that they care for you. Total acceptance, no matter what. Yes, son?
Confession.
Huh?
Confession.
Affection.
Affection. Affection. Okay.
By the Spirit on their words.
By the Spirit on their words. Yes, Stacy.
By the sacrifice.
By the sacrifices. So y'all telling me that if these things are pressed, you know that somebody loves you. Is that right? Bless your heart.
I really did.
Praise God. So Heron is dropping the ball all these years?
I was dropping the ball.
I'm putting you on the spot. So y'all are telling me now that you know that somebody loves you by the words that they speak and the spirit on the words, by the showing of affection without restriction, by the respect, by the communication, by their acts of doing things for you, not expect nothing back. Is this how you know that you're loved? By someone? I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about another human being.
Spending time.
Huh?
Spending time
together. Okay.
Faithfulness.
Huh?
Faithfulness.
Okay. I think faithfulness or loyalty. Oh, okay. If somebody loves you, they will forgive you. Okay. Now the question goes the other way around. How can somebody know that you truly love them? What would you do to make sure that somebody knows that you love them?
I would tell them.
Okay. A few people said I would tell them. All right. I mean, it's easy to go the first way, right? Now you're going to turn the tables. How can somebody know that you truly love them?
You spend quality time with them.
Quality time. Well, the first was telling, the second was quality time. Anybody else want to take a shot?
You speak the truth in love to them.
Speak the truth in love to them. Okay.
I'm just going to get the same answer by total acceptance.
Total acceptance.
Do what they like. Whatever they say you like, that's fine.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So, you know they love you when they are happy to see you. That's true. Well, at least we expect that. Now, what about the other way around? You think that they will know that you love them? Don't make no sense. How they will know that you love them? How they can know?
If they come and I'm happy, I'm really...
Ah, I got it. So, you demonstrated that you're happy... Okay.
They light up.
Light up, okay.
But if they do you wrong, you still treat them.
Folks, this is not a setup. I want you to get that straight. Life is a constant learning path. I never thought I knew all. I always thought that I knew a good and fair amount. And unfortunately, when I came to that conclusion, I discovered that I knew very little, nothing. So we start all over again, and we're gonna join the road of those who are constantly learn more about their God. In my traveling, we've been in so many, I think we've been about 20 countries, different countries. And everywhere where we go, everywhere where we've been, there seems to be a craving for love. And I guess we can say that we are wired with, how do I put this? With that craving to be loved. Does it make sense? I have not yet in my entire life met somebody that don't want to be loved. Have you? So in our daily lives, everybody's looking for love. Although many people may deny it, I think that being loved is one of the basic necessities that each one of us has. I think that because we want to be loved, we have the tendency to associate. Are you with me so far? And that craving for love at some point in life must be fulfilled. I'm gonna go out in a limbo tonight by saying that the best way to fulfill that craving for love is loving back. And when there isn't an object of love, then I think that should come before that, but some of us always get it backwards. Let's love God. When we have that craving for love and we don't realize that the first and most important commandment is to love God above all. If that is not clear and we are still looking for love out there in many places, the best way to fulfill that craving for love is loving God in return. Why? Because when we love God to the best of our ability, there are some very powerful rewards and benefits, by the way. You know, I think I told you this before. I didn't know what love was while I was growing up. And I always wondered when I heard people talk about love, how sweet it is to be loved. I dreamed with the day that I would grow up, be a grown-up man, and then somebody would love me. Well, I made to 19 and didn't go too far. And for a moment I thought, that is an elusive concept. Then I met Marcia. Thank God. I changed my perspective in life. Nevertheless, until Marcia showed in the picture, being frustrated and disillusioned with the folks around me and some attempt of finding love, I found Jesus. And I made a chief goal in my life to do all that I could to demonstrate to Him that I loved Him. My question to you tonight is, how much of what you have said tonight have you done to demonstrate to God that you love Him? I mean, let's go back. Some of you said that you will spend quality time with God. Have we done that? I mean, I think we should know that God must understand that we love Him, right? Or am I wrong? It's not a trap. It's an attempt to cause us to think about our relationship with God and the type of love that we devote to God. God will accept us the way we are. as Brother Wayne said, no matter what, it is true. God doesn't pick and choose. He welcomes everyone. Now, many times I wonder, do we welcome God in the same way that God welcomes us? Do we spend quality time with God as we would spend with our boo? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? In loving God, you and I will experience many, many benefits. The first benefit that you and I will experience in loving God, and then I'm not talking about religious love. What is a religious love? Ave Maria. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about dressing so holy that people are afraid to come close to you because of such a holiness. I'm not talking about you should come as a haggard to church or to the house of God. But, you know, the kind of love I'm talking about is the love that will be like a magnet that will attract God to us. The very simple love that will cause God to crave and set aside an evening to come and hang around with us. Hallelujah. The kind of love I'm talking about is this kind of thing that everybody thinks is impossible, that you have to be a preacher, you have to have some special gift for God to talk to you every day. Goodness gracious, what is wrong with us? When we love someone, we spend quality time, don't we?
Yes.
As the brother here said, whatever that person likes, that's what I'm going to do because I want to please that person. Are you with me here? When we have that kind of behavior towards the one that we love, when we love him the way that he's supposed to be loved, Deuteronomy 7:9 says that he's going to keep up the agreement of blessings with us. Love is such a powerful way to communicate, to hook up, to connect with God that you and I read this. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. End of story.
Amen.
He is God. No discussions. He goes, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who
love him.
When I love God as a God as he deserved to be loved, I am assured that for 1,000 generations, he's going to keep up the promises that he made to me.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, if we would have the right perspective about this, I think our lives would be different. I don't want to lose Marcia. And because I don't want to lose my wife, I'm going to go out on a limb and do whatever I have to do so I can keep Marcia. Well, with God, it will be 100 times more. If God forbid I would lose Marcia, I would be banged up in bad shape, but I make fulfill my days. But without God in the picture, I will end up in hell throughout eternity.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So what you're trying to get to, preacher, that we have got to get rid of the religious love. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Well, what else do you want me to do? I come to church every week. You pick it on us. I'm in church 3 times a week. Never been in church so much in my whole life. I give my tithe. I mean, I try to be a good person. Is that enough? That's religion. The love that I'm talking about tonight is relationship. Love is not a religion. Love is relationship. Am I correct here?
Yes.
When you love a woman or a man, you will understand that person, right? You are willing to cut some slack, right? You are willing to make concessions. Is that right?
Yes.
You are willing to oversee things that you might not like, but you still go along with the program. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because of the object of your love. And sometimes I often wonder, how does God feel when He looks down to our behavior as the people of God? Are you with me here?
Yes.
So I am challenging myself, and I'm challenging all of you tonight to do better in loving God than what we have done this far. When we love God not in a religious manner, but when we love God just like you loved your sweetheart that you met in college or in high school. You remember? You were all nuts. You couldn't wait. You want to be together every day. You're holding hands everywhere you go. You're kissing, you're hugging, you're cuddling. Y'all didn't do this, right? If we would have that same behavior towards God, can you imagine how sweeter life would be? I remember that when I met this young lady here, 19 years old kid. Oh, 20. We married in the same year. Yes, 20 years old kid. I couldn't help myself. I was in her home after we started dating. Every night for the next 5 months until the day said, it's enough, let me take her home. And we signed the paperwork so we could be together forever. Why? I was in love. If we would have that kind of love for God that is so strong that you want to take Him home with you, you want to walk around hands, holding hands. You want to kiss Him. You want to please Him. You are just nuts. You can barely wait to get home to Him. Can you imagine how life would be? He says in here that He will keep His covenant. He will keep that covenant up to 1,000 generations. Huh? With those who love Him. Watch this. Amen. Brother Harry, may I have the backslide translation on this scripture here? Watch this. Know this. Your God is God indeed. A God you can depend upon. He keeps His covenant of loyal love with those who love Him and observe His commandment for 1,000 generations. This is why I have said every time I'm counseling people, the focus of your love is not your spouse, it's God. Then after God comes your spouse, and after your spouse comes your congregation. Why? It's a hierarchy here. God came first, and then after God came the family, and then after the family came the church. Now, some preacher will you have that is God, church, and family. It's no. That's messed up thinking. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and then He created the church, and then He created Adam and Eve.
No.
He created heaven and earth. Then He created Adam and Eve. And then later, sometime later, some 800 years later, we had the tabernacle. If we would love God as we love our spouses, or as we loved our children, or as we loved our sweetheart when we met them, God promises to love us back for 1,000 generations. And God will never walk away on us. God will never have an affair.
Yes.
Do you see that? He keep his covenant of loyal love. God's not going to walk out on you. May I have the New Living Translation here, brother? Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keep his covenant for 1,000 generations. Here we go. And lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him. This is why I say the best way to find love is loving God, because you're going to be loved back. With a love that is an unfailing love, a love that you can feel, a love that you can experience on your own skin.
Yes, Lord.
Did you know that when I came to understanding of, when you grow up in a Jewish community, we always hear Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then they go, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, and you shall love the Lord your God. And he goes on, with all your might, with all your heart, with all your understanding. This is something that God wanted to be engraved in our heads, because God loves to be loved.
Amen.
And in loving God, he retributes that affection with more love. Are we together so far?
Yes.
So the first benefit of loving God is the fact that God will keep his covenant of loving us. Did you know that the word covenant here is the same word that is used for marriage between a man and a woman? Did you know that? Brother Harry, may you give me the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Note that Yahweh, your God, is God. The faithful God who keep his gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandment. First benefit of loving God, he will keep in effect for as long as you will live that covenant of love with us. When we love God in the same way or better than we love our children and spouses, God will cause us to inherit substance. Proverbs 8:21 says the following. I want you to read it with me. That I may cause those who love me. Just by loving God, he will make sure that you and I will inherit wealth. And the best of all, I may feel their treasures. Or treasuries, right? So what you're saying, preacher? Another benefit of loving God, as love supposed to be given, is the fact that in being loved, in feeling love, it will move the hands of God to help us to inherit wealth. Did you see the word inherit? Did you know that inheritance is something that you didn't work for? Are you with me here? An inheritance is something that you didn't work for. It used to belong to somebody else. Now it's passed on to you. Y'all don't get in this. In loving God, God will cause money that is not yours,
amen,
that you didn't work for, to come to your account.
Amen.
Oh my Lord. Watch this. May I have the New Living Translation here, Brother Harry? Those who love me inherit wealth. I'll fill their treasures. Now, let's go to the backslided translation. handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life. I like the other version better. I read a translation that was so good, it may have been the ERV. It was so sweet, but we don't have the ERV on the computer yet. So folks, loving God will produce inheritance. God gets so excited when we love Him the way that we're supposed, that He will cause us to inherit wealth that we didn't work for. Do you remember that the Bible said that the riches of the wicked... Huh? It's set aside for the righteous. Why? Because the righteous people love God. Another benefit of loving God is the preservation that comes in loving Him. Psalms 145:20 shows us, watch this. Read it with me. The Lord preserves the Lord preserves all who love Him. Preservation. I don't understand. Hold on. May I have here, brother, the NLT? The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. Preservation in the sense of protection. Preservation in the sense to keep you going even when rough time is there. Now watch this. May I have the nearly inspired version, Brother Harry? The Lord watches over all who love Him, which comes down to preservation. Loving God will bring us preservation from evil. Loving God will cause God to watch over us. Are we in the same page yet? Loving God also produces deliverance in time of hardship. Psalms 91:14 says the following. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore... Loving God. Not religious love. Loving God in the way that we're supposed to love will cause God to deliver us. Will cause God to honor us because we have known His name. Watch this. May I have the Holman Christian Standard Bible? I think this one, that's... Because He is lovingly devoted to me, I love the word devotion. Did you know that the word devotion here has nothing to do with the spiritual? It's devotion on the sense that you love someone and you are devoted to that person. You are loyal to that person. You're nuts about that person. You want to stick with that person. Because he's lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver him. Loving God brings deliverance. Another benefit of loving God, the way that we're supposed to love Him, God will make sure that all seasons in our life will be fulfilled. Deuteronomy 11, starting on verse 13 through 15, says the following. Read it with me. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and then I will give you the rain in the land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may gather your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Loving God will keep all the seasons on our lives going on. We're not going to miss anything. Early rain, later rain. Cattle will have food to eat. We will enjoy our food.
Thank you, Lord.
And everything else that we do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Am I being able to communicate you the benefits of loving God? You know, one of the greatest things that loving God produces in our lives, one of the greatest results, one of the greatest reward is that when we love God heartedly, grace will hang around. Now, I said sometime 5 or 6 weeks ago, I gave a simple definition for you of grace and mercy. Some of you may not remember anymore. Mercy is not getting the punishment that I deserve. Grace is getting the favor that I never deserved. Are you with me so far? So how is that important? There is going to be time in our life that we're going to walk out on God. Unfortunately, this is the reality of our lives. Thank God that when we love God truly, even the little things, when we walk out on God, grace will stick around. And grace will push God's mercy not to punish us as we deserve. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Watch this. Grace be with all those. In other words, they say, may favor that you do not deserve be with all those folks to love Jesus in sincerity. You get the point? So when we love God with all our hearts, that undeserved favor will stick around with us.
Hallelujah.
Let me give you one or two more scriptures. In loving God sincerely, we will be led into God's secret. Now, those of you who are married, ones who are not, relax. Those of you who were married once, you may not be married now. Do you remember that when you first get married and you were, in love? Do you remember how you used to talk to your spouse and there was no secret between the two of you? I mean, if it was a real marriage. If I try to keep a secret from her, she will figure out anyway, so we may as well talk. But you remember that when you were in love, how there was no secret between the two of you. Why? You don't have any secret from the object of your love, right? Well, when we love God, I would say, just like we love our spouses, God will let us into His secret. There are things that I can't handle right away. God will keep it for a while until I'm mature enough. Then He will let me in. You say, that's not in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, eyes has not seen. Sometimes there's things that if you see, you're going to panic. Nor ear heard. If you hear that, it's going to shake you up to the bone. Hold on. Nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved Him. I mean, If nothing else, whatever God is putting together for all of us that love Him is so awesome, so huge, so big, so sweet, that if it would be told to mankind, we wouldn't be able to handle it. So God said, well, they love me, I'm keeping it for them. When the time of our maturity comes on, God will let us in. I mean, if somebody would have ever told me that flowers can sing, I would say, you are out of your mind. Why? I never saw flower singing until I got to heaven. Folks, I wish it would be an easier way to put it to you tonight, to challenge you tonight, to think and live with the fact that it pays to love God more than Facebook. It pays to love God more than your TV. It pays to love God more than your job and your family. Now, according to the Bible, what is the quickest way to find love? Let me help you. Let's go to Proverbs 8:17. Quickest way to feel loved. Read it with me. I love those. Did you get the point? The quickest way to feel love, the quickest way to experience love, is loving God. And the love that I'm talking about is not religious love. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. This is why loving God is the first and utmost commandment in the Bible. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, and everything else. Why? Because when everything else in life fails, if you have a relationship, a love relationship with God, you will always feel loved. Even in the toughest time in life, you will find love in God. Now, listen to what Jesus said in John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keep them, I want to stop right here. I want to dismantle a myth that has plagued the Christian church for its entirety, for its entire life. When God said that I shouldn't steal, I shouldn't steal, right? God gave us some rule, or God gave some rules for you and me. And the reason that those rules were given is to keep us free. Those rules were given to guide things here and above. And I don't believe that we can realize how happy we will be when we keep those rules that were given to us. The first four commands teaches us how to live God, and the next six commandments teach us how to relate to our human fellow. And the purpose of those commands was given so that we can learn to love God not in a religious way, but in a relational way. Religion said, well, you cannot steal because, you know, Christians don't steal. Well, I got news for you. I don't steal not because I'm a Christian. I don't steal because I love Jesus. There are people that sometimes it's so hard to swallow. That's what I want to say. But you know what? I'll swallow them. Not because of them. But because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. I love people, those who are hard to love, because I love Jesus first in a way that I have to show my love to Jesus is doing what he told me to do. I think we are together so far, right?
Yes.
Some of you said that when you love someone, when you know what that person wants, you do what that person wants because you love them. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, imagine now if you met the love of your life and then you fall in love. Huh? And then all of the sudden, your love said, you know what? I don't want you eating burgers anymore. What are you going to do? What? Nor pizza. What? And by the way, put away the chocolate. You're kidding me, right? No, I ain't kidding. Man, what is wrong with you? I don't see nothing wrong eating pizza or burger or drinking chocolate. Cut the soda too. Oh no, this is too much. Is that what we're going to say if you love someone? I guess most like you say, okay, honey, I disagree with you, but because I love you, I'm going to comply. Am I correct? Wow. Don't touch their burger or their pizza, nor their soda. If you do, there ain't no love. But you know, folks, as some of you have said already today, when you love someone, you will listen to the things that the person, the object of your love, loves, likes. And you will do it because you are in love.
Yes.
We do not obey the commandments of God because religion tells us to do it. If you do, you're not better than the Pharisees. We obey the commandments of God because he says, if I love him, I will keep his commandments.
Yes.
And it's so simple. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now here's where we miss. He says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. When the true relationship exists between God and us, when the reciprocal love is there, the desire to obey God will also be there. And as a result of all this, we will not only keep God's commands, we will be loved both by the Son and by the Father.
Amen.
And here's where it comes sweet. I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Hallelujah.
I want to wrap up tonight by telling you this. Some of you have had the desire to see Jesus. Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
What is the quickest way for me to have visions of Jesus? Love him more than your computer. Love him more than your boyfriend and your girlfriend and your spouse. Love him more than Facebook.
Yes, Lord.
And make sure that you do what he asks you to do. Not because religion tells you to do. You do that because you love him. I like to drive fast. I mean, it's everybody knows that. I love speed. I'm sorry. But when I have my beloved wife, I have to behave like a big boy, a good boy. Why? Is she going to beat me up? Of course not. If you would have tried, I would have run. But I drive within the speed limit as much as I can because it bothers my beloved wife when I'm driving fast. And because I love my wife, when she's in the car with me, I try to behave as best as I can. In 1996, I had a Piper Wire, a Warrior 180. Sweet airplane, very forgiving. I want to impress my love how good I was with an airplane. So we took off, I convinced her to come in. She was a little hesitant, but she came. I don't like the idea to be up there. So I convinced her to come. She came. Well, I did a yaw. She screamed, "Stop!" So I leveled the plane off. She goes again, "Stop it!" So I pulled the yoke and I brought the nose of the plane all the way up here. And then the plane stops. And then the horn is start because of a stalling. Then she goes, "Go!" So I lose the yoke and the plane dives and comes up and starts jumping like a horse. And then I said, "Would you make up your mind? I'm joking, but I'm thinking that she's going along with the fun." No, she wasn't. Then when I look at her, oh my word. "Get down right now." "Yes, ma'am." So I'm looking, where am I? I'm close to Jacksonville. So I called Jacksonville Tower and I asked to land. A small airport that is clear me to land. When I landed, "I am going to go home and I will never fly with you again." "So what?" I said, "How are you going to get home?" "What do you mean, how are you going to get home?" "It's in the car in the parking lot?" "Said, yes, all the way down in Fort Lauderdale." "And where are we?" "I think it's Jacksonville." "Oh!" I said, "Sweetheart, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I thought you were going along for the fun." "No!" "That's all right. Just come in. We're going to go back, and I'm not going to do this. I promise." And I didn't do it. I didn't do it because she was mad. I didn't do it because I loved her. And I don't want my wife to feel insecure, uneasy, unrestful while I'm flying. So she got in and I took off nicely, got clear from the area, contact Fort Lauderdale 10 minutes before. So here's the highway. I'm flying along the highway, the runway rather. I called the tower before I flew parallel to the runway and I asked him permission to land. And they said, "You're number one." Permission granted. There were several small planes on the area training. All right, I'm halfway the runway. The tower comes in. November 9711 Foxtrot. "Can you make a 180? You got a Learjet on new tail. So you better land right away." I said, "180. Roger." And I forgot again. And then I... And then I said, "Sweetheart, the tower instructed me to do this. Man, I don't have a problem with this. But she didn't feel comfortable. We have flown afterwards, but I never did something stupid like this. Why? Because I love my wife. I want to please her. When we fly, I behave myself. Not for any other reason, but for the fact that I love her, and because I love her, I want to please her. And she, in return, retributes the courtesy. I hate boats. I hate anything that has to do with sea. Her daddy used to own a ship. Can we go on high sea fishing? Yes. You're all right? Yes. And then we go the first time, and then the thing gets rough and it's shaking. What is coming inside? Lord have mercy. I don't want to be a burger for a tiburon, you know, for a shark. But you know what? Despite of the fact that I didn't like boats and high sea fishing, we still went. Not because she demanded, but because I loved my wife. And if that makes her happy, every year in her birthday. This year we didn't go, did we? Last year, rather. Every year we go out in the high seas and we catch some nice sea bass. Last time we went, she caught a sea bass that was 28 pounds. Wow. We have a picture. She's holding, barely holding the fish, and the fish is almost to her feet. Why am I saying all this? I don't want to show up. I want to tell you this. He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. We do the things that are written on the Bible, not because the denomination tells us to do it. We don't have a denomination.
Amen.
We do it because we love Jesus.
Amen.
I don't drink, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't cheat on our spouses because Bishop so-and-so is telling us not to do it. We don't do this because we love Him. The quickest way for you to begin to have manifestations of Jesus on your dreams, to have visions of Jesus on a daily basis, is loving Him. Just like you would love your sweetheart. Now for those young guns that has not come to that point yet, one day you meet somebody and you're going to be, you're going to be walking, everything will be flower. You're going to be walking on the clouds. And then you're going to say, I'm in love. You're actually not in love. You're infatuated. But because of that feeling, if the fellow says, honey, can you walk in one leg? Sure. And you're going to be. It makes no sense. But because you're in love, you will do some crazy stuff. Well, let me tell you this. Your God is much bigger, higher, and more important than your sweetheart.
Amen.
It does pay to love God.
Yes.
In every single way, shape, and form.
Amen.
So how is it that we can know that somebody loves us? Let me hear again. How do we know that somebody really loves me? Spend quality time.
Communicate.
Relationship. Respect. Can we do all this to God? So God can know that we really love Him? And when we do that, you're going to be having visions of Jesus left and right. Left and right. Left and right. You're going to be on one of the aisles in Walmart, and it's going to show up. Can you pray for that person for me? Sure. You just walk out. You don't even know how to pray for it. You walk out there, and then he says, she has high blood pressure. Miss, can I pray for your high blood pressure to come down right now? Oh, my God. Is you a preacher? It doesn't matter. How do you know I have high blood pressure? My boss just told me that you do have, and I'm going to pray for you to lose it. Are you with me here? You're going to have manifestations. And then you say, no, Lord, I want you to spoil me with a Calvin Klein pants. You're going to be going somewhere, so I make a turn here, and you're going to go to a store, and there's some Calvin Klein on sale. Are you with me here? God will start manifesting himself to you on a daily basis. On a daily basis, God will be manifesting himself to you because you love him and you do what he says. I want you to close this part here by reading with me this scripture on the backslide translation. Elder Ellis, may I have the backslide translation this verse? Read it with me. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him
and make myself plain to him.
May he show himself plain to you tonight.
Yes.